ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Throughout the past year, this program has been celebrating the 60th anniversary of UWM with a closer look at the university's 14 schools and colleges. As we head into the home stretch of our anniversary celebration, we focus today on one of the newest academic units, the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health. And our timing for this program couldn't be better. The Zilber School was recently notified it has received national accreditation. That makes UWM's Public Health School the only accredited school of its kind in Wisconsin and one of only 56 accredited schools in the entire country. It's a huge accomplishment, and it opens the door to recruiting many more students to Milwaukee and doing even more of the extensive research into public health issues that face our state. Joining us on the program today is Ron Perez. Ron is the interim dean of the Zilber School, and we welcome him to today's program. Hey, Ron. This has to be a happy occasion for you, knowing that you can talk about an accredited school of public health.
Indeed, Tom. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. It is a remarkable achievement, and it certainly caps the great work that has taken place in the school. As you know, the School of Public Health started in 2009, so the school is relatively young. In the short 8 years, I believe the school has come quite a ways, not only in developing itself as a school, but also through this remarkable achievement of accreditation, which could not have been accomplished without the support of many, including obviously UWM, but also the late Joseph J. Zilber and his wife Vera, the Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, the Commissioner of Public Health Bevan Baker, as well as the incredible hard work of our faculty and staff. So we are indeed very, very pleased, and this is just the beginning of what I call second phase.
What's the value of having an accredited public health school? What does it mean for the people of Milwaukee, for the state of Wisconsin?
Well, Tom, the accreditation is an incredibly valuable seal of approval. The way I like to think of it is as a quality seal of approval. It is granted by the Council on Education for Public Health, CEF. And what it does is it makes sure that the school and ultimately its alums, the students, are of the highest quality. For the school, in addition to ensuring that we are producing quality students, quality graduates, it also provides opportunities for federal grants that we couldn't have access to without the accreditation by the council. In addition to that, our students are now eligible to sit on an exam that is administered by the National Board of Public Health Examiners, which is only available for graduates of accredited schools of public health.
So this is a big recruiting tool for you.
It is an amazing recruiting tool, and I'm glad that you segue to recruitment because prior to accreditation, we were in an environment where we were recruiting without that. And students are very savvy these days, and they obviously know that we didn't have it. They were also aware that we were on the path towards accreditation. It's a long road to accreditation, and we've been on it for a while, and we've been telling the students about it.
Some listeners at home may be a little confused between the difference that there is of a public health school and a medical school. We have a couple of medical schools here in the state of Wisconsin, but now really only one standalone public health school. What's the difference?
That's a very good question, Tom. What we are is we are a standalone school of public health, and what it means is that we're not embedded within another school. For example, the program that MCW has.
Medical College of Wisconsin.
The Medical College of Wisconsin. Thank you, Tom. Is within the Medical College and is an accredited program. UW-Madison has an accredited program, a Master's of Public Health, MPH, within their School of Medicine and Public Health. But a school basically is a larger unit that has to have not only more programs, but also needs to have PhD tracks. It needs to have a certain number of faculty members with it. And it has to have the organizational structure of an independent school. In addition to its own independent budget, its faculty, its resources have to be independent and available to that particular school only.
And the mission or the purpose of a public health school as opposed to a medical school is clearly distinct, right? I mean, there are differences between the two.
That is correct. The public health essentially promotes and protects the health of people and the communities where they live, they learn, work, and play. Doctors, for example, they treat individuals who are sick. But those of us working in public health try to prevent people from getting sick or injured in the first place. We also promote wellness by encouraging healthy behaviors. Social determinants of health are extremely important when it comes to population health. And that is something that it is embedded in the mission of the Zilber School of Public Health. Social determinants, for example, are conditions in which people are born, they grow, live, work, and age. Those particular circumstances are shaped by the distribution of money, power, and resources at many different levels. At the global level, you can see differences between countries, for example. At the national level within the U.S., you can see it within states, for example. And at the local level, you can see it within communities such as Milwaukee. Certain areas have certain social determinants and health determinants that others don't. Of the many social determinants that exist, and there are many, the most significant one is what is known as the social gradient. The social gradient is basically where we are on this stairwell. And you can measure that by income, education, place of residence, occupation, etc. The big difference is that if you're at the top of this gradient, you have a lot more power and resources, and on average, you live longer and healthier than the ones at the bottom. In fact, there is if you're at the bottom of this, what we call social gradient, you run at least twice the risk of a serious illness and premature death. So we look at population health. Medical schools are training these doctors. They're looking at the health of individuals.
So the key is to try to avoid people getting sick in the first place so they don't necessarily have to end up in that doctor's office or in that emergency room.
Absolutely, Tom. One can save many, many, many more lives through prevention rather than treatment. So let's avoid getting there.
The fact that the public health school is located physically right in the heart of downtown and geographically in the center of the population base of Wisconsin, the largest concentration of people, is no accident, is it?
It is absolutely no accident, Tom. In fact, we are extremely pleased that we are where we are located. Not that the east side of Milwaukee is not a fine location, but we really need to be where the action is. We really need to be embedded in the community. And not only where we are, but we also have the great opportunity of having a co-location with the Milwaukee Health Department, who is actually located in our building. And it allows us the opportunity to interact very closely with them.
And for those who don't know, the building is located in the old Pabst Brewery, right around 10th and Highland or so, just a little bit north of Highland Avenue. And what a great, great location for it to, when you think about it, very ironic location that you have a school of public health and a former brewery.
That is right, Tom. We are located in what is known as the cold storage building. And I always like to joke with my visitors and faculty and friends that that there must be beer someplace in behind those walls, but I just haven't found it, but I keep knocking the walls.
Well, let's talk more about the research that's being done. I know that there are different programs, different areas of academic study and excellence and research. So let's go through them and give our listeners a better sense of exactly what those areas of discovery are and will be in the future now that the school is accredited.
Okay. The Zilber School of Public Health, Tom, is a graduate-only school. So we offer two types of degrees, the Master's of Public Health, and we offer doctoral degrees. The Master of Public Health, the students will have to specialize in one of five tracks. We have biostatistics, community and behavioral health promotion, environmental health sciences, epidemiology, and public health policy and administration. Within the doctoral arena, we offer PhD degrees in environmental health sciences. We offer a PhD in epidemiology. And we also offer a PhD in public health with two concentrations, a concentration in biostatistics and a concentration in community and behavioral health promotion. The students that are pursuing the master's degree is a professional degree. It has a core, and then it has specialized courses in any one of those five specific tracks. So the students that are pursuing a master's of public health will take five courses in the core, which is one course in each and every one of those specific areas, in addition to a field experience in public health and a capstone in public health. So that makes up the core. Every student pursuing a master's of public health will pursue that core and courses within their specific tracks.
I want to come back a little bit later and talk about where the jobs are related to each of these areas, but let's delve a little bit deeper into these specific units within the school. First of all, biostatistics. Mm-hmm. How do you define it? What is that?
Mm-hmm. Biostatistics is a track that builds on the classic public health skills and knowledge and takes advantage of special knowledge that our faculty have. Our faculty have expertise in genetics, bioinformatics, and big data science. The students within the biostatistics track have the opportunity to learn and apply statistical genetics in the context of complex disease studies.
So really, instead of looking at just an individual and whatever unique experiences that they may have, you're looking at how those problems may be manifested across a population. So it's not just the study of one problem, and of course you don't want to in any way diminish the value of someone's illness or challenging situation. But you're looking at, what, hundreds or hundreds of thousands of people?
Hundreds of thousands of people, Tom. We are looking through statistical genetics in the context of complex disease studies. We're using big data science, and we're using evidence-based patient-centered outcome studies. We have faculty members that are conducting cutting-edge research with partners, some of them overseas, global partners like Paul Auer, who's conducting research with folks in England. And we have obviously engaged with the Medical College of Wisconsin in this biostatistics research.
Another area is community and behavioral health promotion. And that one's a little bit easier perhaps for us to understand because you've already given us a sense of what is done in the public health arena when it comes to communities.
Right. It's a little bit more intuitive, I would say. But community and behavioral health promotion, they essentially focus on promoting the health of communities through innovative approaches to community engagement and collaborative practice. So they have the students are trained in different theories and frameworks in social and behavioral science and evidence-based methods for program planning. So it's a very enriching area. It has a lot of applications, and our students are well received in the community.
Is it more qualitative in study than an area such as biostatistics?
That is correct. It is more qualitative in nature than biostatistics. Biostatistics is very quantitative.
Yeah, got to know math for that one, right?
You do.
Environmental health sciences, a third major area of study.
Environmental health sciences, basically what we are training our students is to work in health labs, for example, where the students are looking at ways that the environment interacts with the population health. So, for example, you can look at pollutants either in the air or the water and how they actually propagate. We have faculty members that are working on projects related to water quality, for example. We have faculty members working in trying to establish the link between air pollution and autism, for example.
And you mentioned water pollution or air pollution. It sounds to me like there's a lot of room for the public health researchers to collaborate with those back on the East Side campus, people in biology or chemistry or down at the School of Freshwater Science.
That is correct. In fact, Tom, our environmental health sciences group is actually located on the main campus. They are located on the fifth floor of the Kenwood Interdisciplinary Research Complex. And they're it's a very collaborative group of folks. They work, as you mentioned, very closely with freshwater sciences faculty members and scientists. They also work with folks from the College of Letters and Sciences, biology primarily.
We're going to pause just a moment to remind folks that they're listening to UWM Today right here on WUWM. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio today is Ron Perez. Ron is the interim dean of the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health. This is part of our 60th anniversary series of programs as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee celebrates six decades of serving the city. We've been going through each one of those schools and colleges over the last 11 months or so, and almost to the end of our list. So Ron likes to think we're saving the best for near last as we put the spotlight on the university's most recently accredited program. Just received word that the Zilber School is one of only 56 nationally accredited schools of public health across America. Really, really quite an accomplishment for the city and of course, for the university. Ron, we've been talking about the major concentrations within the school. You mentioned biostatistics and community and behavioral health and environmental health sciences. Two others that we didn't get to, but we will now. One is epidemiology.
Epidemiology is the way that our track was developed is actually unique amongst national schools of public health. The emphasis that we have is on the application of epidemiologic theory and methods for promoting social justice and health equity. So we go through the program and train our students to bridge theory, research, and practice and prepare them to engage in rigorous evidence-based public health practice. Our students are in great demand, especially in this area. They work in hospitals, city, state, national health departments, and labs.
So are they looking for the trigger points or the causes of a disruption in one's health or a community's health? Or what specifically would an epidemiologist be engaged in on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, our students are collecting, analyzing, and interpreting epidemiological information. They generate theory-driven hypotheses, their research questions, and work in true collaboration with diverse community partners to create essentially social changes to improve the public's health, as well as reduce health inequities, Tom.
So really detectives looking for the cause of the problems that are manifested, even in crime in the city, right?
That is correct, Tom. They are looking for that proverbial needle in the haystack. And sometimes it takes quite a long time to find it. Sometimes we cannot find it. I mean, the outbreak of Ebola, for example, is a good example from Africa and tracing it all the way back to patient zero.
And so being a good detective means looking at all of the evidence and trying to come up with some potential answers or perhaps, hopefully, the conclusive answer of what's causing a problem.
That is correct. A hypothesis and then go about trying to validate that hypothesis.
The fifth and final area of study that the school is involved in, public health policy and administration. How are they involved in the study of policy?
That one, it's perhaps a little bit easier to understand. But basically, what they do is they look at policies, basically local, state, federal policies that directly or indirectly impact the level and distribution of health in the population. So we are looking. We recognize, for example, that health and the well-being are fundamentally shaped by both healthcare policies, for example, health services policies, and those policies then shape social, economic, and environmental determinants that directly impact then population health.
So with a national debate that still continues over what sort of healthcare system our country should have, the study of policy can be incredibly important in informing lawmakers, people who are going to decide where the money goes, should create a law or a rule.
Absolutely, Tom. The our policymakers obviously have the best intentions, but there might be unintended consequences to certain ways in which policies are implemented, certainly written. So it is our job to be able to inform them of how certain policies could impact, for example, social and economic determinants, which are significant when it comes to population health.
Let's talk a little bit about your faculty. Where do they come from? How do you recruit the people who are now part of this accredited school?
The faculty that we have in the school, we have 27 faculty members. They're recruited through a national search, which attracts the very best, in my opinion, not only from within the U.S., but also international applicants come to us. So the whole process is a very rigorous process, is vetted very, very carefully by the faculty. It begins by us identifying an area or a niche that we are looking for expertise in. And we're very careful in how we go about vetting these candidates. We want to make sure that we hire the best faculty members that we can get our hands on. And indeed, our faculty members, Tom, I would say, are really second to none. They have great backgrounds. They have great expertise. And they're very, very dedicated to the mission of the School of Public Health.
And they teach and do research.
That is correct. They teach, they do research, and in addition to that, they also have a component dedicated to service.
Yeah. How about the students? Where do your students come from?
Well, right now, Tom, we just went through the accreditation process, so we are now officially accredited. So I would look at prior to accreditation and after accreditation. Looking at prior to accreditation, which includes the accreditation or the recruitment of students that we just went through who will be starting in fall, that cycle we were essentially drawing from the region. It has to do with a number of things. It has to do with the reputation of the school, obviously, but it also has to do with the fact that we were not accredited. That all being said, it's never really stopped us from having great students. The students that we have are amazing students. They're very eager to learn. They're very motivated. And our faculty just have a grand time working with them. They engage in the community as part of their, if they're pursuing Masters of Public Health, they have to pursue a capstone design. They also have to be placed in the community to do a field placement project. So they're very engaged in the community, and they're, in my opinion, really world-class students.
And now that you've got the national accreditation, does that change things? Are you going to be able to recruit students from beyond Wisconsin or the Midwest?
That is correct, Tom. That is the What we're hoping, we have seen plenty of evidence at other schools of public health in what happened before accreditation and what happens after accreditation. We will definitely anticipate increasing our enrollments, and we definitely anticipate increasing the impact that we have, not only in the community, but also in the region, and grow out from the region.
Yeah, you're kind of on the national stage now, now that you're one of only 56 schools that have that seal of approval, as you described it.
That's right. It's a very systematic process that that your peers to be judge you on. It's a very long process. It's a very thorough process. Accreditation. It's about a 3-year journey, and at any given time, the journey could end with the council determining that you don't have what it takes.
Well, we're glad you have and your colleagues have what it takes. Ron, in terms of jobs, where do the students go when they graduate with these degrees?
As far as jobs are concerned, our students are mostly staying in the region. And it's not because they're not able to go on to national opportunities. In fact, we have some students that have gone on to national opportunities. But what happens is as the students go through the field experience, they make connections in the community. So a lot of our students are in the community, which is a really good thing. It's important. They're having an impact in the community. But the students are in different places depending on their different tracks. They range from opportunities at the state, local health departments. They can be at nonprofits. They can be at think tanks, advocacy organizations. They could be working with, let's say, medical institutions. Marshfield Clinic, for example, the Medical College of Wisconsin, is another place where our students can go. Health insurance systems, pharmaceutical companies.
So no shortage of opportunities for people with that public health degree.
There is indeed no shortage of opportunities. We believe that it's a great degree, and I think the students are well trained. We have a tremendous faculty, and now we have the infrastructure. If you remember, the School of Public Health started in 2009, and we've slowly but surely built from that. We moved into our building where we are in the Pabst Brewery Complex in 2012. And the Environmental Health Sciences Group moved into 2015. So we are now clicking in all cylinders, and we are just moving forward. And we certainly are finishing the last pieces, and this accreditation was the biggest piece that was missing.
Ron, congratulations to you and everybody at the Zilber School for that great achievement, and best of luck and good wishes as you go ahead and provide those great services to the community.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. I really appreciate it. We certainly are looking forward to what I call the next phase, which would be as we ramp up and enhance the impact that we're having in the community.
Ron Perez, the interim dean of the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health, one of only 56 nationally accredited schools of its kind in the country. That's all for this week's edition of UWM Today. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.